This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ready? Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatillil alameen nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma'abad. So today, which is the first of the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, 1,445 years after the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina, which is equivalent to March 12, 2024. So, bi-idhnillah, we continue from where we stopped in this book of Ad-Da'i wa Dawa. And last dars, which was yesterday, was the last thing we did. Kamal al-Muhabba. Okay. Okay, I got that place, inshallah. So, يقول المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى فصل. So, this is a new chapter that will be talking about أفضل أنواع المحب, الحب, the best type of love. Which one is the best? And I guess through his statements, you can understand what exactly is he trying to establish here. He says, فَهَذَا الْحُبُّ لَا يُنْكَرُ وَلَا يُذَمْ بَلْ هُوَ أَحْمَدُ أَنْوَاعِ الْحُبِّ. You know, you remember the last type of love of in the dunya, which is the love that is not really linking you to akhirah, and also it is not depriving you from the akhirah, right? But sometimes it reduces the value of your akhirah because it leads you to waste of time. Yeah, unless if you have good intention and you use it in the proper way. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he says, the lahu, you know, playing, and the gap and the difference between them is so big. That's why he says you cannot understand or comprehend, you know, how big is the gap between one person to another in this type of muhabba. قَالَ فَمَحَبَّةُ الْخَلِيلَيْنِ وَمَحَبَّةُ غَيْرِهِمَا مَا بَيْنَهِمَا. He says, فَبَيْنَ مَحَبَّةُ الْخَلِيلَيْنِ وَمَحَبَّةُ غَيْرِهِمَا مَا بَيْنَهُمَا. What do you think about the muhabbatu Ibrahim alayhi salam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam lillahi azza wa jal in relation to our muhabba lillahi azza wa jal? Yeah. You will not be able to comprehend the difference between the two. There is not even room of comparison. The way Allah loves, the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam loves Allah, that's a real love. And the way Ibrahim loves Allah, that's a real love. Yeah. Yeah, slaughter your son. He did not even say why. Even he did not see that in, physical, yet when he was awake, you know, it came to the dream. And Allah told him, just slaughter. And he said, yes. Why did he accept this? That's muhabbatulillahi azza wa jal. Get it? And go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also you find the same thing. Yeah. That's why nobody qualifies that khulla that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them except those two. The rest of the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're also like that. But the qualities you have in these two, you don't find them in any other place. You know. So this muhabba that a person has is the one that is making life easy for you. Are there people in this life who cannot pray to Allah? I mean, who don't pray to Allah? And you have others also, they pray, but they find it very difficult. You need to do a lot to convince them to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True? How is it possible that you find it very easy, very simple for you to go and pray? That's muhabba lillahi azza wa jal. It is the one that is making it easy for you to do it. Every taklif that you are able to do is because of this. Yeah. You have this strong muhabba, so you're able to do it, and you find it very simple for you to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard, whereas the rest are not. You have stingy people. He doesn't want to give, but because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives. You have somebody who is so coward, but you find him in the middle of the enemies fighting. Yeah. Why is he doing this? Because he wants to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's muhabba. So this is the one that those people who have it, they will enjoy it when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yawma tubla sara'iru. Yawma tubla sara'iru is the day in which the secret will be revealed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. قَالَ وَهَذِهِ الْمَحَبَّةِ هِيَ الَّتِي تُنَوِّرُ الْوَجْهَ وَتَشْرَحُ الصَّدْرَ وَتُحْيِي الْقَلْبَ وَكَذَلِكَ مَحَبَّةُ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ عَلَامَةِ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَنْ تَعْلَمَ مَا عِنْدَكَ وَمَا عِنْدَ غَيْرِكَ مِنْ مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَانْظُرْ مَحَبَّةَ الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ وتلذذك بسمائه أعظم من التذاذ أصحاب الملاهي والغناء المطرب بسمائه. فإن من المعلوم أن من أحب محبوبا كان كلامه وحديثه أحب شيء إليه كما قيل إن كنت تزعم حبي فلما هجرت كتابي أما تأملت ما فيه من لذيذ خطابي. Ibn Qayyim says, this mahabba is the one that is making your face bright. وتشرح الصدر, and it gives you comfort in the heart. وتحيي القلب, and it makes your heart alive. And the same goes to the mahabba to kalam Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah. Most of us, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only in Ramadan. Yeah. Now everyone is with the Quran, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, there's still good in that. Better than the one who doesn't look at the Quran even in Ramadan. Get it? Yeah, most of us, we remember Quran in Ramadan. Yeah, we come back to it in Ramadan. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, the same goes to Mahabbatuka li Kitabillahi Azza wa Jal. Because one of the signs that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is loving the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you don't like His word? You don't want to listen to from Him. Go and tell your wife that you love her, but you don't want to listen to her talk. Yeah, does that work? Salam, does that work? How do you guys know when you say? Yeah, I have to have some time to knock on your head so that you will repent tomorrow. Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work. She would never agree. And the same goes to that husband. Any person that you said you love him, but then when he speaks to you, you don't want to listen to him. Yeah, you know, it is a joke to him, that claim that you're always telling him. So if you claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should find you loving his book. And how to love Quran? I love you, Quran. Yeah, what do we do when the Quran falls down? We take it and kiss it, right? And tomorrow we disobey all of his commandments. Yeah. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not to disrespect it. Yeah, for us to go for kissing and then we give the scholars a job. Is it halal to kiss or not halal to kiss? Respect it at the first place. And what is the best way to respect the book of Allah? To apply it. You know, to apply that which is in the book. Ibn al-Qayyim says, if you want to see the level of your muhabbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at your relationship with the book of Allah. You get it? Look at your relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at how much you enjoy listening to the Quran. Yeah? How much you enjoy listening to the Quran. Nowadays we are busy with music, right? Yeah. Halal, haram, we're still debating. What is it halal or is it haram? Yeah, this one says makruh. If you listen to it a little, then it's okay. If you listen a lot, then it's not okay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it's not okay. Wakafa. But even if it is okay, which one is the best word for you to listen? Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there is no way for the book of Allah and the music to remain in one heart. One of them has to go out. Yeah. He said, yunbitu nifaqa fil qalb. It grows nifaq in the heart. Yeah. And what does it benefit you? It kills your heart. Yeah, it grants you that comfort, you know. It takes your heart naturally. Yeah, yeah. And that's the reason why we call it al-itrab. Yeah. You have a kid, young kids, if you have music being played, their body reacts. Who told them to do like that? You get it? So that means it is going to the heart. It is affecting the heart. Yeah. So this is my personal advice to all of us. We do have a lot of alternatives. True? Yeah. What is that? Quran. That's the best alternative you have. Go to the Quran. And alhamdulillah, nowadays, how many reciters you have for the Quran on the internet? How many? Hundreds, if not thousands of them. Even the incorrect one also are there, with good and beautiful voice, which I ask you to stay away from them. Usually we follow the voice. We don't follow the tajweed and the content. Yeah. Look for somebody who has correct approach in the tajweed and also good voice. Yeah, we have a lot of them. And alhamdulillah, you listen to them, they take you to another world. Yeah, you listen to it, you get reward. Praise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you tranquility of the heart, peace of mind. The other one, there is no tranquility of the heart because it's shaking your heart in the way you don't realize, which is going to result in a pain that will come. You know, stress and depression, you know, we see them always. Depressed. Yeah? and in a state of stress. But unfortunately, they don't understand. And this is very dangerous, because if you are to be punished by Allah and you don't get the punishment, this is very dangerous. Get it? That's why the painkillers, when the doctor asks you to take them, is he going to tell you just take them as much as you wish? They said when necessary. Yeah, when necessary. Yeah, because you have to understand that these are called painkillers, not cure. They don't remove the disease, but they just make you believe that the disease is gone. But where is it? It is still there. Yeah, eating you from inside, but you don't realize it. That's very dangerous. Yeah, that's why if you don't need it, don't take it. If the sickness is not that bad, don't go for it. Yeah, there are circumstances you have to go for it. Yeah, otherwise you might lose your consciousness or it might lead to death. You went for surgery and those things that were given to you, now they don't work anymore. Yeah, people really suffer a lot. So they give them the painkillers to help them to sustain the pain. That one is okay, but in the normal circumstances, don't go for them. Yeah, so back to this matter that we're talking about, because sometimes you are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but unfortunately the person doesn't realize that. Last time I quoted for you the statement of Ibn al-Jawzi. He said, there are some people who are punished by Allah and they don't understand the punishment. He said, this is one of the worst type of punishment. You're punished by Allah and you don't understand. Yeah. Like who? Like the one who is taking riba and he doesn't know. Because when I commit sin, when you commit sin, is that a punishment from Allah? Yes, it is. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ma asabakum min musibatin, fabima kasabat aydikum wa ya'fu an kathir." Any calamity that and musibah that happens to you, it is because of what you did. Sins, are they calamity? Number one calamity and musibah in your life. Yeah. So Ibn Jawzi says it's really bad for a person to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he doesn't understand that Allah is punishing him. And this is the situation of many, many of us, unfortunately. And he said, we have some other people who are worse than them. Who are these ones? These are the people who are happy with the punishment. And still his example is the same. As if he lived in our time, he said, these are the people who are taking riba and they're happy with the riba. Yeah, we have a person who built a house from riba, bought a car from riba, and he's happy. So these are the worst, yeah, who are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're happy with the punishment. Waliyadhu billah. So please stick to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let you enjoy. And that's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says you have to test yourself and look at your heart. How much you enjoy listening to the Quran. How much you enjoy that. You get it? That enjoyment has to be greater than the enjoyment of those people who are listening to useless things. You get it? Useless songs that are not taking them anywhere. So you cannot claim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you stay away from His book. You know. Qala Uthman ibn Affan, poet says, you claim that you love me, but why did you stay away from my book? When I wrote something to you, you don't reply. What happened to that love? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the best book. The best book, you know, which contains everything you need in this life. But you don't take it. Yeah. You don't take it. وقال عثمان بن عفان لو طهرت قلوبنا لما شبعت من كلام الله. عثمان بن عفان ابن عفان said, if our heart is our heart are pure and clean, لما شبعت من كلام الله, it will never be satisfied, you know, from reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, you will keep reading. You read and enjoy reading, you cannot stop reading. But he says we have a lot of disease. And that's why when we read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once, khalas, we close everything. Yeah. Uthman radiallahu anhu used to read Quran a lot. Even actually when he died, they killed him while he was reading Quran. Ibn al-Arabi said, there was a person who managed, either him or somebody else, he said he managed to see that Quran, they preserve it. And subhanallah, when they killed him, the blood went to the Quran and it fell on a verse. What is the verse? Fasayakfikahumullah. Subhanallah. The blood went from him to that verse. Fasayakfikahumullah. What is Fasayakfikahumullah? Allah is enough for you. Allah will take care of them, don't worry. Subhanallah. And فَكَذَلِكَ كَانْ. They got what they deserve. Although the one who brought this idea kept on, subhanallah, putting those evil behaviors and beliefs in the Muslim communities. Who was that? Abdullah ibn Saba al-Yahudi. Yeah, Abdullah ibn Saba. He was the mastermind, the one who was behind the assassination of Uthman radiallahu anhu. It was a Jew, pretended to be Muslim. Was a Jew who pretended to be Muslim. وَكَيْفَ يَشْبَعُ الْمُحِبُّ مِنْ كَلَامِ مَحْبُوبِهِ وَهُوَ غَايَةُ مَطْلُوبِهِ وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَوْمًا لِعَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ اقْرَأْ عَلَيَّ فَقَالَ أَقْرَأُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَيْكَ أُنْزِلْ قَالَ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَسْمَعَهُ مِنْ غَيْرِي فَاسْتَفْتَحَ فَقَرَأَ سُورَةَ النِّسَاءِ حَتَّى بَلَغَ فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا قال حسبك قال فرفع رأسه فإذا عينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تذرفان من البكاء وكان الصحابة إذا اجتمعوا وفيهم أبو موسى يقولون يا أبا موسى ذكرنا ربنا فيقرأ وهم يسمعون. Ibn Qayyim says, how is it possible for somebody who claims to love another one, you claim to love another person, but then you are very selective in the letters and the statement that he is sending to you. You get it? So you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it possible that you don't like to hear from his words? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was asked by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read Quran for him. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I read Quran for you while you are the one who received the Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I read Quran to you. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, please read it because I like to listen to Quran from others. He said, I like to listen to the recitation of the Quran from others. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud started reading Surah 2 An-Nisa for him. And he kept on reading. The Prophet ﷺ was enjoying. Until the time he reaches the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. What do you think the situation would be when we brought every nation and along with them we brought shaheed, somebody who will be the witness, for or against them in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا. And you will be brought, together with these ones. It's referring to the Muslimin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be brought along with the Muslimin as a shaheed. He will confirm whether we did or we did not. SubhanAllah. Allah says, يَوْمَ إِذٍ يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَعَصَوُ الرَّسُولَ لَوْ تَسَوَّى بِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. On that day you will see the kuffar and the non-Muslims who went against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn them into dust. Just like the animals, right? And that will never happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَكْتُمُونَ اللَّهَ حَدِيثًا. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I reached this place, and then I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling me, hasbuk. Hasbuk means stop. Hasbuk means stop. This is how to stop a person who is reading Quran. Yeah, that's why many scholars said you don't need to say Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Yeah, when you read, you finish, that's it. No need to say Sadaqallahu al-Azim. If you claim actually this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it will be innovation. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not say Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Those people who believe in that, they say because Allah says Qul Sadaqallah. But that's another context. You know. So we don't need to say Sadaqallahu al-Azim. What is Sadaqallahu al-Azim? Allah has spoken the truth, right? Mm. But many think that... Okay, let's leave that one. Somebody was telling me that a person who doesn't know Arabic language, so he asked about something. You know, so that man tried to convince him, yeah, that the thing finished. And he doesn't... He told him, intaha, doesn't understand. Intaha, mafi, doesn't understand. You know. And then he mentioned the name of the thing, he said to him, Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Anyway, that was just a story, Allahu alam. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hasbuk means enough. Yeah. He tells somebody who is reading Quran, enough. No need to say, Sadaqallahu al-Azim. As I said, if a person thinks that he is pleasing Allah with that, and this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, then this would be innovation. قَالَ فَرَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ فَإِذَا عَيْنَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَذْرِفَانِ. So he raised up his head to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He found the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam crying. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam really reflects when he hears the Quran. Yes, it's very simple and very easy for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to cry when he hears the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Qayyim says, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever they sit in a place, and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَقَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ مِزْمَارًا مِنْ مَزَامِيرِ آلْ دَاوُودِ. They said he has a very nice and beautiful voice. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have been given mizmar. What is mizmar? Mizmar is a guitar. There's some musical instrument called guitar, right? Yeah. That's mizmar. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not talking about mizmar given to Dawood. He's talking about a good voice. Yeah. Because Dawood, when he recites Zabur, even birds also come and listen to him. You see, birds, they have beautiful voice, right? What makes them forget their voice and come and listen to this one definitely is... It's really nice. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell him that you have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nice voice like the family of Dawood alayhi salam. So the companions, whenever they sit in a place when Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was there, they used to tell him, Zakirna Rabbana, please remind us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he will recite the Quran to them and they will be listening. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, زَيُّنُ الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ فَإِنَّ الصَّوْتَ الْحَسَنِ يَزِيدُ الْقُرْآنَ حُسْنًا. It's a beautified Qur'an with your voice. Yeah, because the nice and the beautiful voice makes Qur'an beautiful. Yeah, sometimes you don't want to listen that much, you know, but because the voice is so nice, you go and listen. Yeah. That might be the reason why you become amongst the lovers of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who listen to it every time. قال فلمحبي القرآن من الوجد والذوق واللذة والحلاوة والسرور أضعاف ما لمحبي سماع الشيطان فإذا رأيت الرجل ذوقه ووجده وطربه وشوقه إلى سماع الأبيات دون سماع الآيات وسماع الألحان دون سماع القرآن فهو كما قيل تقرأ عليك الختمة وأنت جامد وبيت من الشعر ينشد تميل أو تقرأ عليك الختمة وأنت جامد وبيت من الشعر ينشد تميل. He says those people who are reading Quran, they have this natural feeling and the taste and the enjoyment, you know, and the sweetness of that which they are reading from, which is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the happiness that comes to them. And you, wallahi, this is true. Yeah. Try yourself to be familiar with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to read it a lot, you will understand the truth of what Ibn al-Qayyim is mentioning. Yeah. It is the only book that you cannot get bored of reading. Yeah. He says, they have much more better than what those who are busy with the sound of shaitan. What is the sound of shaitan? Music and any other thing that is wrong in that regard. He says, when you see a person, Ibn Qayyim says, when you see a person, you know, who doesn't have a taste except towards nasheed and shir. And here he is even talking about the halal songs, not the haram one. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Bukhari, he says, it is better for one of you to fill his heart with al-qayh. You know what is qayh? The pus, that white water that comes from the injury. It is better for a person to fill his heart with that than filling it with the nasheed, with the shi'r. And he's talking about the halal shi'r. But then the scholar said, since he himself also listened to the shi'r and tried to repeat what the shair says, then we learn that it is halal. But he is talking about making your life all about nasheed. This is very wrong. Yeah, making your life all about nasheed. Although it is halal to do, but this is very wrong for a person to do. So if this is the situation of the nasheed that is halal, what do you think about the haram one? Yeah, listening to nasheed, listening to shaykh is halal. A person can do it and it's okay for you to do. Nobody can tell you that you have to always just go with the Quran. Yes, it's true what he's saying, but not always. Allah never said that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said that. It makes it halal, so that means you can listen to it. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say the shir, right? Yeah, on the way when they were back to Medina during one of the battles, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can we have somebody who can do the nasheed for us? Yahdu lana al-hida, they said the nasheed, the shir. So they told him, yeah, Rasulullah, there is one. And this companion, Anjasha, I guess his name is Amir, Anjasha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, go ahead, we're looking for somebody to give us some. Yeah. So they do. They used to use these type of nasheed in the past for the camels. Yeah, you see them just like that, you know. They understand also things. They used to use them for the camels, to give them some relief, because they have been, you know, carrying you for a long, you know, journey for so many days. They need some relief. So they used to sing the song to them, you know. So now Anjasha started reading, and he has a very nice and melodious voice. Yeah, the companions are enjoying that, those share, but he's saying good words, but in his own way. So they said, according to some of the scholars, the camels started going like this. Wallahu alam. They said the camels started going in the wrong way. And who was on top of the camels? The sisters. Yeah, because in the past they have the howdaj. Howdaj is a small room. The sister will go in. Yeah, you should tell this to those feminists who think that Islam. He will lie. They need to see this, you know. Yeah, if their community is oppressing women, they should talk to the community, not Islam. Yeah, who is on the ground suffering from the sun? All the brothers. And where are the sisters? They're in the room enjoying their life. Yeah, all the way. They don't come and work with the people. And that's Islam, you know. If you see these things are not taking place, then who is to be blamed? The community. But unfortunately, since the hatred is on Islam, you know, everything Islam. A few years ago, around, I think, 17 years ago, I heard that there are a group of losers. They were looking for somebody to reinterpret the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. Reinterpret the book of Allah. They want new tafsir. At that time, I think $10,000 they gave him. Alhamdulillah, they couldn't get that kafir, you know, to do that for them. Because what they want is, whenever Allah talk about a woman or a sister in the Quran, they will tell him what to say. not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. I couldn't find somebody with that courage to come and do this for them. So these type of things should be said to them, you know. And somebody should convince them to read. Yeah, because wallahi, I'm telling you, those people are totally ignorant of what Sharia is all about. Yeah, as we always mention, that I will mention today. Go and do your research. You know, from now until the day of judgment, there is no system, no ism, no religion that ever respected woman except Islam. Up to date, no religion is respecting women except Islam. Any place where they claim the freedom, okay, let's do whatever we want. Do we have this in Islam? No. Absolute freedom doesn't exist in Islam. You're always restricted to that which Allah SWT wants. Yeah, but now many sisters, they want freedom. And then what happened in return? They lost what Allah SWT prescribed for the nation to survive, which is the marriage. What is it better for a man and a woman than the marriage after Islam? Nothing. You Allah. She cannot be comfortable and he cannot be comfortable when there is no marriage, you know, in her life, in his life. But unfortunately, the enemies managed to convince us that that freedom is the best. So you have in the Muslim territories nowadays, the rate of divorce is increasing. Are they happy? Wallahi, they're not. Whoever tells you those people are happy, wallahi, is lying to you. From their activities and their actions, you understand that this person is not at ease. So we don't apologize to anyone, and we believe the correct approach is ours. Go and read the history and see how much Allah SWT gave a woman. And now she said she doesn't want it, she got what she is looking for. You know. She got what she's looking for. Islam chose for her the best and accept for her none other than the best. She has full protection. One of the most valuable entities that live with us is a woman. No muhaba, this is how it is. Yeah, it's how it is. Somebody was right when he says, a woman in Islam is half of the community. And they gave birth to the other half of the community. And I will leave you with this statement, which I believe is the lack of application of this statement is the reason why the Ummah is in the situation where we are nowadays. Yeah, there is a job. Only one person can do it. Yeah, only a woman can do it. Which is to create a leader, a person who can lead a nation to success. Trust me, only a woman can do it. Go and read books written by our scholars about Ummahat Rabbaina Ruzama, mothers that produce great leaders. Imam Shafi, who gave him tarbiyah? His mother. Imam Malik, go to all of those great scholars who put them into that way. Some of them, the father, and one of them, his father traveled. He came back after 40 years. Subhanallah, he gave his wife money to spend, you know, whenever she needs. When he comes back looking for his money, if in case she did not use it, she told him, before we talk about anything, about what you left with me, go pray first because this is the time for the prayer. And then when you come back, inshallah, we will discuss what exactly happened. I will tell you in detail. Subhanallah, these are the smart people. Even the way she speaks, you know, it knows that that person was living with a smart person. So he went to the masjid. When he came back, he told her, oh, subhanAllah, I saw a very young person, you know, who never saw a person at that age with that capacity of knowledge like this one. He was so happy. You know. She told him, this is where I spent that money that you gave. He wished that if he has more, actually he give her, you know. Nowadays, which Imam Malik will produce? You Allah, we need to ask ourselves this question, you know. What are we producing for the Ummah? Nothing. Because I have no time for my kids. My family also have no time for the kids. I work, she works. So who is there to give the tarbiyah for the kids? Nobody. That's why somebody was right. Okay, and also take a note, I'm not saying working is not halal. No, both can work, male and female. It's okay, as long as the place is conducive to either one of them, is fine. Yeah. But if you neglect the real job that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put on your shoulder as a father and as a mother, wallahi, you'll be in trouble in the hereafter, because this is amana given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not talking about halal and haram here, but we're talking about who is there to take care of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to take care of them, who will be responsible for leading the ummah to the success. One of the thinkers says, if you want to destroy a nation, convince the people not to respect knowledge, convince the people not to respect the scholars, convince the woman to believe that taking care of a child is deficiency. Is that the... And this person is not even religious. If you see him, you don't even see it. But these are the realities. You know. He said, any civilization that you manage to convince the people in that place to do this, just leave it. You don't need to fight them. They'll be gone. That's why, do you have civilization in the West? No. There's no civilization in the West. They have what is called in Arabic, Madaniya. Madaniya means they build the place. They make nice building, but they're not civilized. Up to date. Civilization exists somewhere else. But you have manners, you have adab, you have respect, you know. In that place, you don't have those ones. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. So we digress a lot. Back to Anjasha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him to do it. So he was making those nasheed. And the camels are going in the wrong way. So the sisters sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, we're getting into trouble. Because the houses are going like this. So they're going to fall down. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, رويدن صوتك يا أنجشة رفقا بالقواري. You know, and this one also has a lot of meaning if people understand it correctly, right? He says, Anjasha, please slow down. And he reduce. The voices too went too far. Yeah, because he can reduce us actually that beauty, right? Use another voice, you know. Yeah, he said, show mercy to the qawarid. What is qawarid?
Glasses.
The glasses, you know, that cup of the glass. Yeah. When you hit it so much, what happens? It will break. Yeah. And here also we have a message, right? You and your family, you live with them like the way you live with your friends. Yeah, that's what brings the problem, right? Because he lives with his wife, he wants her to be like his friend. Yeah, that's why they always clash, because we have two different nature here, soft and harshness, seriousness and gentleness. That's the best way to say it. But then he wants her to be like him. How is that possible? It's not. And at the end of the day, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you insist that she has to look like the way you want, then what happens? You break her. And the breaking of your wife is to divorce. Yeah. Wallahi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, he left for us everything. One of our scholars was attending his class. He was telling us, if the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understand this hadith correctly, he said the vast majority of the clashes between the husband and the wife will be solved by themselves. What is the hadith? لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها خلقا آخر. A believer shouldn't hate his wife, because if he doesn't agree with one attitude and one behavior she has, he will agree with the other one. Because you're not married to shaitan, right? And subhanAllah, if you sit down and see how much she did in the house, you will understand that yes, you shouldn't hate her because of what comes from her. You get the idea? Yeah, you will lie. Just understand how much she takes care of your child. This is just one part of the life. How much she takes care of your child? How much? A lot, right? You, when the child cries, what do you tell her? Sister, or madam. Also, I don't know why some people call their wives madams. You know, I hate that name. anyway, madam. You know. So you tell her, sister, that's the reason why we have a lot of rooms in the house. Please park your child and go to another room. And you make a big issue also. Yeah, she's doing all of these. And also, the way she come to your house, was she like that? All of the changes that took place in her life, who made it like that? You. Get the idea? You. And then tomorrow when she did something, you know, which is very simple, you make it a big issue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, don't think in this way. Yeah, don't think in this way. So please understand this hadith properly before you marry. قال فهذه أقوى. So he says, if you become somebody who enjoys music and you don't enjoy the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we have people like that? Yes. You Allah. We have people who don't enjoy Quran, but they enjoy any useless statement. قال فهذه أقوى. So he says, if you find yourself like this, you should know that yes, you are not that person who claims to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to test your love to Allah? Test your love to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and listen to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال فهذه من أقوى الأدلة على فراغ قلبه من محبة الله وكلامه. This is one of the greatest and strongest evidence that shows that his heart is empty. Empty from what? The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وكلامه. You don't have a love of Allah in your heart. And the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't exist in the heart. قال وتعلقه بمحبة سماء الشيطان. That means your heart is busy, you know, enjoying, listening to the shaitan. Yeah, you remember my statement last time I said, if you have those sounds in your heart, then Quran will go out. One of them has to stay. There is no way for both of them to remain in the heart. Either the Quran or the music. This is what the scholars have mentioned. والمغرور يعتقد أنه على شيء ففي محبة الله وكلامه ورسوله أضعاف ما ذكر السائل من فوائد العشق ومنافعه بل لا حب على الحقيقة أنفع منه وكل حب سوى ذلك باطل إن لم يعن عليه ويشوق المحب إليه. You remember all of these statements that we spent ages talking about, them, reading them. They are, you know, said by Ibn al-Qayyim as a reply to a question. What is the benefit of ishq? By now we already forgot that, right? Yeah, that's Ibn al-Qayyim. That's Ibn al-Qayyim. You will start something and take you to another world until the time you forget. Yeah, then scholars used to do this, and then they will tell you, Rajan ila mawdu'ina. Let's just go back to the old topic. So he says, if you are like this, then this shows that there is no mahabbatullah azza wa jalla in your heart, and your heart is busy with the mahabbatu shaitan, and the deceived person is somebody who thinks this is good enough for him. Yeah, you have been people who will advise you when you are depressed to listen to music, yeah, or to go and do something that is wrong. Ibn al-Qayyim says this is ghurur. Ghurur means deception. You get it? Yeah. The only place where you find surur and happiness is in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what benefits, not that which the questioner was asking about of ishq. Ishq doesn't benefit. But this mahabbatullah azza wa jal is the only mahabba that benefits you. Ibn al-Qayyim says, actually, there is no love that is greater than this. And any love other than this one is batil, is falsehood. You get it? Any love other than this one is falsehood. Especially when it doesn't help you to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that love helps you to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of the dunya, but it helps you to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that love is good. Right? Somebody who loves his family and he does the right thing, that will lead him to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the next topic, and I guess we finish our time, the next topic is going to be talking about hubbu zawja min kamal al-hub, loving the wife. I think next class I should be teaching who then? Yeah.
Knowledge for the future.
No, I want not knowledge for... Look at this man. He said, we're learning for the future, right? Yeah, so we should be given knowledge in the places where it could be applied, right? Knowledge for the future. So anyway, Ibn Qayyim will talk about the wrong people, inshallah, the next class. Bi-iznillahi azza wa jalla, who knows? Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. By next week, yeah, I see other people here, right? Say inshallah.
Inshallah.
Inshallah. Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. You guys should be bored of my... Every day I kick on you, I knock on your head, and tomorrow also you come the same thing, right? And always talking, always asking questions. You know? May Allah grant us good and tawfiq. Any question? We have only 10 minutes or 15 minutes for the questions. This one. But that doesn't go to... that's only for this hour you want to ask. You want to be professional also like me? What the question is that? Adam, just give him. If you got stuck, then you fix him.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Yes, sir.
Sheikh, how is it possible for someone to be a hafiz and still listen to music?
Very difficult. Yeah, very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might test him. Never come across somebody who's like this, you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give him the physical memorization of the Quran, he has that one. But when it comes to reflecting upon that which he memorized, no way. Yeah. You have some people who memorize Quran and then they engage in all of those useless things, unfortunately. Yeah. So you'll find them being deprived from the correct understanding of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know.
There is a question from Uzair Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahsanallahu ilaykum fi dunya wa akhirah. The hadith where the Prophet says a believing man should not hate a believing woman. If he dislikes one of her characteristics, he will be pleased with another. Can we apply this hadith to brothers in general as well?
Yes. Hamad and Adam. Yes, we apply this also to anybody. But the best place to apply it is when it comes to living with the spouses. Yeah, they should apply this. Yeah. Because the life of the spouses is more important than the life of friends. You know, the ummah cannot be established if the family life is distorted. But we apply it in the same way to the friends also. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Right? Hatib ibn Abi Balta, that companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who sent a message to the Meccans informing them about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming to fight them in Makkah. What did he do? High treason, right? Yeah. Committed khiyan askariya. The punishment of this in every nation. What is the punishment? Death. Yeah. Only in Islam you find some other approach. Hatib did. And Fathu Makkah is one of the greatest battles. Everyone is waiting for this. Because if Makkah is conquered, it's open. So that will be a sign that inshallah every other place also could be because that was center, right? But then this companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent a message to them, informing them that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on the way. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Ali bin Abi Talib and somebody to go on and bring the sister he sent. And he told them, he said, you go straight forward until you reach Rawdat Khakh. Yeah. He said, you reach that place. Don't stop until that place. In that farm, and this is one of the ayat of the Prophet ﷺ. And they went looking for that sister. They couldn't find her on the way. Until the time they reached that place, they found her. So straightforward, they asked her, where is the letter? She said, he did not give me any letter. Even from her statement, you start sensing something. She said, he did not give me anything. Ali bin Abi Talib told her, give us a letter. She said no. So they check anything they can check. Yeah, since she is a woman, they cannot touch her, right? So they left because they couldn't see. They just left her. Ali bin Abi Talib said, no. Wallahi Rasulullah ma kadhabana. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not lie. He said she has a letter. That's when she has it. So he went back. He said, sister, give us the letter, or else we'll take off your clothes. Yeah. So she knows that this will be the worst thing, you know, to happen to her in her life. So she said, wait, I will give you the letter. Yeah. So she saw seriousness in their face. She said, I will give you the letter. So she opened her hair, you know, and the braids, those sweetened things. This is, she put the letter inside and she does the braiding inside. Kat makr. So she wrote out the letter and gave it to them. Ali bin Abi Talib took it. But you can see how much they trust Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, that's why they succeed. And we don't. They went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They gave him the letter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Hatib ibn Abi Balta. Umar was there, very angry to see who is that person. When he came, Umar was trying to hit him with the sword. He said, Ya Rasulullah, this person is a munafiq. Yeah. He deceived Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet and the believers. Let me get him, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blocked him. And then he asked him, he said, Umar, wait. He asked him, Hatib, why did you do that? Okay. Don't forget, why are we mentioning this story, right? Somebody was asking, can we apply this hadith to our friends when we deal with our friends? I said yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Hatib, why did you do that? He said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, I'm not a munafiq. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not like what Umar is saying. He said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, I'm not a munafiq. However, Ya Rasulullah, there is nobody amongst your companions who left Makkah like me, except that he has somebody in Makkah to protect his family and his wealth. He said, Ya Rasulullah, accept me. I still have family there, but there is nobody to protect them. So I was afraid, maybe if we did not win in this battle, they will go and attack my family. So I wanted to do something good to them. I don't want them to win. I want them to lose. But I just want to do something good for them in case we did not win, they will not attack my family. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Sadaq al-Rajul, he spoke the truth. And his case should be closed. Nobody is allowed to discuss his matter. Umar doesn't want to agree with this. He jumped also to hit him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, Ya Umar, why do you want to kill him? He said, Ya Rasulullah, he's a munafiq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Umar, don't you know that Hatib went to the battle of Badr? And he said, don't you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked into the heart of the people of Badr? And he says, Ya Ahl Badr, if'alu ma shi'tum fa inni qad ghafartu lakum. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked into their heart. He says, people of Badr, do whatever you want in this life. I forgive. Whatever you do. Very big chance for the people in today, right? Yeah, in the past, it's not like that. Those people, they are the most dedicated person today to the Sharia. Very dedicated people. And still they have the fear of, you know, getting into trouble. You know? That's why Allah says, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata wallahu hakim, right? What is hikmah? وَضُعُ الشَّيْءِ فِي مَحَلِّهِ الصَّحِيحِ. You know, putting things in their proper place, this is hikmah. Al-Hakim is Allah. So when he said, do whatever you want, he knows what he does. So Umar never knew about this. SubhanAllah, when he heard that, the sword that he was holding, he couldn't hold it anymore. It fell from his hand. He cried. SubhanAllah. Because he also went to Badr. So he was so happy, you know. Because of Hatib, you know, he heard this. So we learn from this story that when somebody did something wrong to you, the best way to resolve this issue before you blame, look into his life first. Where he was. Inshallah, if you look into his history, you're going to find some, you know, deed and some good things he did, which will make you keep quiet. You don't even want to blame him for anything. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that. He went into the history. He found that in the history, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, among his deeds, was the Battle of Badr. That made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quiet. So he closed the page between him and that person. So you also, when you deal with any person, the best, when somebody did something wrong, look into the history. I'm not saying don't blame him. No, sometimes you should blame so that they will understand. But don't hate. You know, and if it is possible, don't punish. Especially good people. When they make mistake, you are supposed to forgive. Yeah, good people, when they make mistake, you are supposed to forgive. Yeah, we are living in a time where there is no forgiveness. Yeah. A righteous person, when he does something, he is supposed to be forgiven. You know, Allah grant us good. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aqilu dhawil hayati fi atharatihim." Yeah, iqala means forgiveness, overlooking. He said, "Dhawil hayat." Who is dhawil hayat? Good people, people who have good manners. Because usually, when they do something wrong, is it out of mistake or intentionally done mistake? That's why if you remind him, he apologizes. Yeah? The bad one, they think they do have a right over you. Those one, shall you forgive?
A Muslim is not bitten by the same price.
But what must you do? I thought Allah asked you to forgive.
I used to forgive, but be careful for next time.
Okay, anyway, you are right, but in the other way, you know.